Welcome. Are you ready to take a journey with me into knowledge, enlightenment, and discovery? Then let's journey again together. This is your host, Rebecca Jernigan, and you're listening to Journeys with Rebecca.
Welcome to today's show, and good day to you. This is your host, Rebecca Jernigan, and have I got an absolutely fabulous guest today. His name is Nahu, and we're going to talk a little bit more about who he is and what he's presenting to us today. But first of all, I want to invite you over to the website. That's journeyswithrebecca.com. Of course, as always, you're going to find all the latest Journeys news there. You're also going to find out where to listen to the show, also about audio archives. Now, if you guys do have a question or you would like to suggest a guest, please email me. That's mailbag@journeyswithrebecca.com. A special thanks to the sponsors of Journeys with Rebecca. That would be Fate Magazine, published continuously since 1948. Their website is fatemag.com, or just click on the link on the front page. And also Sandy Andrew, universallearningseries.com. Now, he is the author of that book as well, and he is going to be in St. Joseph, Missouri on February 3rd at 2 o'clock. And for additional information, you can either click on the link or you can call 816-279-6111, and he will be there to be doing book signings for the Universal Learning Series. So what a wonderful thing to do there in St. Joseph, Missouri. Okay, 2007 is absolutely going to be phenomenal for Journeys with Rebecca. We have so many interesting guests, so be sure to check the website frequently because we will update as the guests come on and we get them scheduled. Lots of different topic matters and lots of different subjects, and we are going to have some fun with that. But let's get back to today's guest. Again, his name is Nahu. We are going to be talking about UFOs, God from outer space. I'm sorry, God from inner space. I'll say that right. So this is a book that you're going to want to read. It's very inspired. It's undoubtedly the Da Vinci Code of the UFO mystery. Now, you can follow Nahu as he deciphers the hidden mysteries of UFOs. Nahu is a gifted psychic symbologist. He will take you on a most fascinating journey in consciousness that will shift your perceptual view on the nature of reality. Stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Do you want to understand more of the nature of the universe? Why is there billions of galaxies and trillions upon trillions of star systems in our known universe? Why do we sense we are eternal beings? Why do we have different personalities? Where do our emotions and dreams emanate from? Where do the visions of deja vu come from? Your Never-Ending Life, Book 1 of the Universal Learning Series, introduces the philosophical theory of universal learning. The theory of universal learning focuses on you, the never-ending, eternal spirit, developing an understanding of the transcendent scale of the universe and learning the ways of the Creator. Your Never-Ending Life explores such subjects as past lives, karma, emotional control, and superior spirit. For more on this book, visit universallearningseries.com. Your Never-Ending Life, Book 1 of the Universal Learning Series, is available at Barnes & Noble and Borders bookstores and online.
Fate Magazine, providing true reports of the strange and unknown. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, life after death, and much, much more. To receive your free issue of Fate Magazine, call now, 800-728-2730, or visit our website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730 or www.fatemag.com. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Email Rebecca with your comments to mailbag@journeyswithrebecca.com. You're listening to Journeys with Rebecca.
Welcome back, and you're listening to Journeys with Rebecca. And as promised, I have a really unique guest today. His name is Nahu. We are going to be talking about UFOs, God from inner space. So let's welcome him to the show. Hi, Nahu. How are you today?
I'm fantastic.
Great, great. Well, you know, I am so excited when I got your book, and, you know, we've been emailing. That's how I set up all my guests back and forth. I was like, oh, I have absolutely got to have this person on, because this is just a totally different way of presenting the whole extraterrestrial UFO God thing altogether. Actually, what's said on your book, it's the Da Vinci Code of the UFO mystery, and that really struck a chord, because the Da Vinci Code, although not totally factual, certainly had a lot of facts in it, and it opened a lot of people's eyes to some of the unknowns there are going on, and maybe give them a different perspective on what they always thought about. So now we've got this UFO connection that you're going to be telling us about here in just a few minutes, and it's just a fascinating story how this all came to be for you. And then I've got some other questions that I'm going to ask you here a little bit later on in regards to some of the information that I've read. But let's go ahead and talk about your book a little bit. You know, this is a revolutionary idea of the UFO phenomena, and you have put it into a different perspective. But it started, you said, about 40 years ago when you had an encounter with what you call UFO/light source and its mystical occupants, and it changed your life. Why don't we start out with the beginning of how this process started for you?
Oh, I'd be happy to. It was quite a fascinating experience, my first encounter, and totally unusual type of experience. Rather than the normal kind of nuts and bolts type thing people have had with encounters with UFOs or flying saucers, as a lot of people call them. And the reason I do call them UFOs in terms of slash lights is because this is a huge, incredible light that levitated me or picked me up, drew me into a center of a swirling vortex of energy. And inside this swirling vortex of energy or light, I felt myself being picked up and pulled into this and then dropped into the center of a room-like structure. It's kind of a circular, crystalline-like structure. And inside it, I found myself sort of semi-hovering, almost like levitating, in front of two beings that I can only describe as some kind of spiritual teachers of some sort. And this is more of a synopsis. There was a lot more to this, but
sure.
Trying to make it more brief, they were not like the current versions of UFO knots or beings that people have seen. These beings were more like Mayan Indians. They were very dark-complected, large dark eyes. But their temperament and their whole state of being was totally different than anything I'd encountered ever in my life at this time. It was like being in the presence of some kind of spiritual beings, because I didn't notice any kind of sexual differentiation here. That I couldn't tell whether I'm looking at a male or a female. I'm looking at some kind of being that basically could have been and totally androgynous. And the whole communication with me was like on a telepathic level.
Sure.
There was no physical communication. They just stared at me.
Uh-huh.
And I was, of course, very frightened at the time. It was a very strange, bizarre type of experience to be having. I felt like my whole body was vibrating tremendously fast. And it took me a while to actually settle down in front of them. And they just seemed very benevolent, though. There was no negative energy with these beings. And as I gradually settled down and came down before them, they started transmitting information to me on a telepathic level. And I had a real strong impression that they were trying to tell me something about the nature of the universe, about myself and reality in general. But you got to understand that I was about 17 years old when this took place. And it was difficult for me to comprehend what it was that they were trying to share with me, because it was so different than anything that I'd ever experienced before. So most of it came as a kind of symbolic kind of imagery, pictures that appeared in my mind. I know that within my own psyche, I must have retained some ideas about UFOs or flying saucers, and I'm sure that some of that information kind of came to the surface of my mind, to my conscious mind, I think they picked that up. And something that did arise that I was kind of semi-aware of was the fact that I was curious about, you know, if I'm inside of some kind of a craft, if this is like a flying saucer, a UFO, if you will, then it must have some form of power, of locomotion, some sort of energy or force behind it. And when I said that, I got a really strong impression from them that it was by the power of pure mind. In other words, it was literally saying to me on a psychic level that they were projecting this whole life force, this whole energy temple or source that I was inside of by mind alone. Now that initially, Rebecca, it was almost kind of frightening. It kind of scared
me
for a moment.
Well, at 17, I can imagine. I mean, you know, what life experiences do we have to, you know, kind of understand that whole process? I mean, that's some very deep, profound exchange going on there.
Well, I thought if they can actually project some kind of a device, I was thinking almost in terms of actual metallic kind of physical nuts and bolts craft of some sort, like what people were describing. Even in, this is in the 60s, you have to understand, and at that time, UFOs were still totally novel.
Yes.
And of course, myself, I had no belief whatsoever in them at the time, and I had never had any kind of unusual mystical experiences at that time either, so it was totally novel, new to me. And so I thought, if this is a physical vehicle and they're able to manipulate it by the power of pure mind, then they must have incredibly powerful psychokinetic abilities to teleport themselves, to direct their energies from one point to another. That would mean, in essence, that they could probably crush me into smithereens, you know, instant, you know, and that really terrorized me, and for a second, and they just sort of gave me a calm, kind of gentle, almost a loving kind of vibration.
Sure.
And which indicated to me, and I felt internally, that they had no intention of hurting me, that they weren't there to harm people, that they were more there perhaps to instruct, as I told you initially. They sort of were giving me the impression that they were trying to teach me something, like teachers.
Right.
And I thought, well, you know, it's, of course, just totally new and different kind of an experience. I had nothing to relate it to, so I couldn't comprehend it at all, and why they should come to me is totally strange to me. And so the next thing they sort of gave me, after they gave me that impression, they gave me another impression, and the second impression they gave me was, watch, and we'll sort of like show you, in other words. It was kind of an impression of, if you'll relax and observe, we'll show you. And so they showed me like a point in space, and I noticed that from that point, which was kind of like seeing the Earth in space, perhaps from another planet, or maybe like from the moon. I've seen pictures of astronauts taking pictures of the Earth from the moon. I could think it reminded me of kind of like the Earth from the moon. And but they expanded rapidly and became a huge glowing globe or ball of light. And as it did, it suddenly stopped. And then when it stopped, it turned into several different colors. One of the colors I noticed was sort of an amber, and then it changed into kind of a red. And as it did that, I got the impression it was like a huge crystal, because I could see a like lattice pattern internally in it. And I thought, there's some internal structure to matter. For some reason, I knew that had something to do with how matter was structured. And as that happened, it just cracked and came open. It's almost like they're saying to me, as you focus your energy, it's like a light, and then it solidifies. And as it does so, you have the ability to change the structure of it from an internal level. This, of course, a lot of this came to me much later after much study and meditation over many years. I've been researching and thinking on this subject matter for almost 40 years now. And I worked in a metaphysical bookstore for about 20 years of that 40 years. And I had access to lots of fascinating archives of information that allowed me opportunities to study and also practice meditation, Eastern, Western styles of meditation too. And I was able to do a lot of internal focusing and self-development enough to give me insights to help share this information with other people and let them know what it was. They were trying to show me, but you have to understand that this came after many, many years of study. So what I'm doing now is discussing this in retrospect, in part.
Sure, sure. Well, again, you know, being 17 years of age and not having a whole lot of experience with knowledge, I put myself in that position, and it's like, yeah, you would have to look back on it, and you would have to pick it apart, because the understanding, even though it's all there in that moment, it takes us a while as human beings to really understand the depth and the knowledge of what it was that they were trying to share. So, yeah, I can relate.
It was quite a profound moment for me, to say the least. At the time, as they were showing me something about the inner nature of reality, I thought, as it took place at that time, that it was very frightening, very scary in some ways, but yet very fascinating too at the same time. And as they showed me this last impression that I just discussed, they said, here, sort of in a sense, it's like they were actually saying, here, let me show you another thing that you can do with reality in a sense. And it suddenly I found myself inside of a long black limousine, and this may sound incredibly bizarre, and it was for me, and I found myself in the back seat of this long black limousine, and in the front seat, looking back at me in the most unusual, almost amused manner, were two Asiatic-looking individuals with black bowler hats and a black suit, and they were smiling at me, and they said simply, "Now do you understand?" And I said, "I understand that I want to get out of this car right now." Yeah. And they said, "Fine." You know, basically, they just drove up. It was like 4 a.m. in the morning, and it was gray outside. And I saw a little hill, and I sprinted up the hill. And for some reason, I found myself looking for something. I'm not sure what I was looking for. Then I realized I had to find something to assure me that I wasn't totally out of my mind. I mean, some physical vestige of reality, you know, that I could cling to momentarily, like a shipwrecked victim with a spar or something, you know, out on the sea. But I just suddenly found myself sprinting up this hill, and I was running as fast as I could, and I saw that there was a small house that was kind of an old derelict of a house, and I kind of ran inside. It had been abandoned apparently long ago, and I started looking all around for something, and I suddenly realized what I was looking for. Leaning against a wall was a dust-covered mirror. I wanted to see if I had a reflection inside my own psyche at that time. I don't know where I picked that up at the time, but I knew that if this isn't just simply an incredibly lucid dream, you know, and even explaining it as a lucid dream is almost a misnomer, because it was so vivid. It was such an incredible experience that I started rubbing on this dust off this mirror, and as I looked into the mirror, I realized I had no reflection. And I thought, no reflection, and the next thing I know, I was hitting my couch with a tremendous thud. And the back of my head hit the back of my couch, and I sat up, bolt upright, and I was just totally in a state of shock for a few moments, thinking, this is incredible. This can't have been a simple dream, you know. I've never had anything vividly real like that before, ever. And I had never done any drugs, never drank. I've always been into natural food, natural lifestyle. I've been an athlete. And I thought, this is ridiculous. This is crazy. What could this have been? You know, I know it was a real experience. And then I started researching. I started researching all the books on UFOs that I could find. And, of course, at the time, as I said, there was hardly anything out. There was a Pascagoula, Mississippi thing. And I think, with Calvin Parker and Hickson. And there was, of course, Mendel and Kehoe's reports. But most of them just described the images, that they saw, circular-type or elliptical-type crafts that or objects that moved that had lots of light, sort of a spiral-like pattern to them, and that were able to defy gravity. And I thought, those are similar, but in some ways not very much like my experience, because when I experienced this particular light source, as I described it, it was like suddenly looking up and seeing an incredible light that was swirling, that had a tremendously powerful focal center to it, and that had the ability to draw me into the center. And then, of course, I did read about reports as I went along and did my studies that people had discussed or described how they were drawn into kind of light-filled centers. And then through the years, I did begin to notice that more people were describing actual kind of lucid encounters, you know, that were similar to lucid dreams or out-of-body experiences, and had a lot of similarities to other kinds of paranormal phenomena, including mediumship. I studied mediumship for about 2 years. I lived at a center, a community that did mediumship type work. They were a spiritualist community in Southern California that were quite impressive. I began to learn more about the nature of the mind and psyche, especially the paranormal aspects of the mind. Began to realize that the mind has tremendous ability, and then to materialize things or actually move objects, and begin to research a lot of that, and begin to understand that thoughts are things. Thoughts are real. They're able to alter physical matter and change the structure of things. Begin to study the works of Blavatsky, Theosophical Society, and I really liked Andy Besant's work on thought forms, and because I saw some similarities there. And I began to notice, too, that in myself, I began to see what might be described as actual emanations around people, or different kinds of lights and different kinds of objects. I actually saw kind of swirling-like patterns around people. I noticed at different points that I could actually see energy patterns, and I began to realize that what I was doing, it was actually sort of breaking into the psychic level of consciousness, and it was taking place over a slow process. And part of it had to do with my encounter. I felt like it initiated that. I was also fascinated to discover that I began in communication with Dr. Kenneth Ring.
Well, and what we'll do is we're going to stop right here now, because we're almost done with this segment. So when we come back, we'll talk about that encounter and some other things that you have also described in your book. You guys do not go away, and we'll be right back with more of Journey and Nahu in just a moment. You can't judge a psychic on TV because of producer-induced theatrics and clever editing. But now you can analyze famous psychics including Derek Acora, Peter James, Linda McKenzie, and Dana Smoller in the new DVDs ISPR Investigates the Comedy Store and ISPR Investigates Crest Hill Mansion. It's all raw and uncensored footage from 1999. showcasing how psychics really communicate with earthbound entities in the field. The new ISPR DVDs are available at JourneysWithRebecca.com. It makes the perfect gift for the paranormal enthusiast on your list. Hi, this is Rebecca. You know, it's easy to keep up with all the latest Journeys news, my upcoming guests. Just sign up to receive the Journeys newsletter. It's free, and you will never receive any junk mail. Your email is never sold or distributed. So keep up to date the easy way. Just log on to my website, JourneysWithRebecca.com, and at the bottom of the main page, you'll see the box. Type in your email address, and you're done. And once a week or so, you'll receive all the latest Journeys news.
Check out Rebecca's website for the latest Journeys news and more. Log on to www.journeyswithrebecca.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Journeys with Rebecca. We are here with Nahu, and we are talking today in regards to his book, and this is on a personal experience he had, and the book is called UFOs, God from Inner Space, and we left off that you were talking, I can't remember the person's name now, Nahu. And
Dr. Kenneth Swain.
That's it. So we're going to kind of pick it up from there. We've got all kinds of stuff that we're going to cover in this segment, too. Go ahead.
Essentially, what I was relating about Dr. Kenneth Ring is that I started corresponding with him because I noticed that he had some really fascinating books out, one called The Omega Project, and then Heading Toward Omega, and he did a lot of research on near-death experiences, along with Elizabeth Kubler-Ross and Jody Long and some other people who have a website that are really doing fascinating research on the fact that the UFO experience is very similar, because people describe a movement through a tunnel, and many times it's kind of a swirling circle of light, too, like a spiral or a vortex. And this is one thing that drew me to this whole concept, and why I consider it so revolutionary, is that I saw that as a spiral system, and I saw this spiral system as a part of a pattern in nature. I'll go into that a little bit more later, but basically what they described, and Kenneth Ring described it, is that lots of people, and there were like thousands of reports of people moving through this internal tunnel and moving into what appeared to be a light field center, they felt drawn into it, and then they described on the other side how they were just simply bathed in light, and how they felt a tremendous freedom and expansion of consciousness. And many people described out of body experiences there, where they could actually see other people in the physical or in other dimensions, or describe communication with beings at another level of reality altogether, from some internal dimensions. And some of the beings that they describe are interesting and very similar, very different. I think that a lot of times that what we're doing here is that we're encountering beings that sort of, in a sense, symbolically represent what it is we need ourselves in our own personal transformation. And
I would agree with that statement. I myself had an NDE. And I went through a swirling tunnel of light, and when I arrived at the other end, it was just nothing but light, but I knew there were thousands of people or beings in that space with me.
Uh-huh.
And it's like a sense of knowing everything there is to know in that moment, you're there.
Right.
It's unfortunate I couldn't bring it all back with me. But, you know,
apparently you're bringing quite a bit back.
Well, I'm, you know, you're consciously not aware exactly what you bring back, because the information you get in just that split second, it just feels like you've been there for hours, but you know it's only a split second. it's unfathomable. I mean, there's no unit of measurement or words to describe the information that you get and the love that you feel and the sense of peace and not want. That's why people don't want to come back. Uh-huh. But you know, they kicked me out. They said, no.
Oh, so you felt really drawn to stay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I just wanted to stay in the playground. I truly did. I mean, it was just like I wanted to absorb everything. I wanted to understand everything. I wanted to know everything. I wanted to stay in that sense of peace. And, you know, they said, no, you're done. You're done now. You have to go back. And I was like, yeah, but it's so nice here. And they wouldn't let me stay. And they said, no, you got work to do. So,
why
you know, I came back.
So nice.
Yeah, so it's all good. I mean, you know, I guess that's what I'm here for.
Well, one of the things that I think about when you say that is how Seth taught us to Jane Roberts. I studied Jane Roberts' books early in the mid-70s somewhere after an unusual synchronicity moment when I actually found Jane Roberts' books in the library by just closing my eyes and reaching out and actually my hand closed on the Seth books and I opened it up to a page which had something very meaningful for me, and one of the things it was that was extremely meaningful was that Seth was telling us that we are here to learn to really focus in the physical plane, that it's a special plane for us to learn things in, and it has to do with a certain kind of special form of focusing the inner psyche here in the physical plane through the inner senses. And I thought that was really meaningful for me because it seems that we come from an internal world and an inner realm of pure light, a pure source of onement with God, all that is, and that it's our natural home, and it seems like a natural tendency to want to return there and not come back.
Yes.
But we have to come back here, and we have to do this. And while we're here, we need to make the best of it and learn to be here now, as Ram Dass said.
Right, exactly, and that's a true statement. A lot of us are pretty angry about the choice we made.
Yeah. Well,
why am I here?
Many mystical paths teach us to try to, in a sense, almost renounce the physical, you know. And for instance, I studied Buddhist meditation and Zen meditation, Taoist meditation, and in all, and both of the studies essentially is to relinquish your tendency to cling to the physical and to reach back or reach inward and to try to find your oneness with all that is again, and in a sense almost renounce the physical, which is also part of the ascetic path and mystical Christianity too, and some other teachings. And basically, it seems that that we can draw this energy, we can go back inward and make contact with it and utilize that information to make our lives better and to share a better world with other people, which is even more important, but also to learn how to focus our consciousness and direct it and make it work, and so that we create this illusion called reality.
Right, exactly.
Basically, the mystics throughout the ages have conveyed to us the fact that reality is kind of a collective dream. You know, Hindus call it Maya.
Right.
And together we are creating it together, which is a very optimistic analysis and a thought too, because if you think about it, just think what kind of world we can create together if we knowingly use this energy and information from the light. And we know that light itself is a bearer of information in ways, and it is a principle, and I think it's the very principle by which God is. And here, when I say God, I'm talking about he, she, whatever you want to call it. It is all it is. I think it's more like an internal wave principle, and it's very conscious, and it's very, it's super conscious. As a matter of fact, it's omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, because it's everywhere at once. And this, if you look at all the research in quantum physics, it's leading us back to a union of science and spirituality, and teaching us that at the subatomic level, we're all waves.
We're all made of the same stuff, no matter what it is.
Yes,
just
it's all
in a different
one.
Form. Yeah, just in a different form, but we're all still got the same stuff. Well,
what's fascinating to me about it is the fact that it, at that level where it's, we enter into what they call non-local connectivity.
Right.
They're all psychically unified.
Yes.
And that the very principle that operates it is the observation principle.
Yes, absolutely.
What you see is what you get.
That's right. That's exactly it. So it's, you know, what you, what is it, what you can perceive, your mind can achieve.
That's right.
Yeah, that's it. Well, let's talk a little bit more about the mediumship. And also, what is an OOB?
Oh, OOB is out of body.
Out of body. Okay.
Basically, that's...
Well, I didn't know what you know, I'm reading off a little sheet here that you had sent me, and I was like, what's an OOB? For some reason, that didn't click for me. I don't know why.
Well, and Bob Monroe uses that a lot, you know.
Oh, yeah. Out-of-body experiences are quite interesting. They're unique in and of themselves as well. And I don't see them as much different as just somebody, just their consciousness is just kind of left their body, and it usually happens most of the time when people are sleeping because they let down their defense mechanisms, and
right.
And it allows the conscious mind to travel. So for people out there that do have out of body experiences, it is a huge opportunity for you to get past the limitations that your conscious mind, it doesn't have the power that you think it does, because obviously it does if it's traveling at night while you're sleeping and you're aware of it and you're having these experiences. I think it's fabulous for people to recognize that. The other thing is I thought was really kind of interesting is you use a term paranormal side effect. What are you speaking of when you talk about a paranormal side effect?
Well, there's a lot of electromagnetic phenomena associated with the UFO experience itself, and it's very similar to the poltergeist, which is a kind of electromagnetic effects that manifest in a person's home.
Right.
That emanate from various kinds of, and this, there's various theories about it, but essentially it seems that one of the prevalent theories is that a child might be going through some kind of transformation at like a prepubescent stage, and there's like blocked energy here, and that it breaks free, comes free in some other way. Of course, that's a general theory from parapsychologists, but I think there might be some basis to that in the sense that I think that basically that it's created at a deep internal level, and it has to do with the creative principle itself, that these so-called paranormal or effects outside the physical that affect physical objects themselves. Another aspect of that is telepathic communication. It's very prevalent in the UFO experience. Many people have described communication with beings, George Obdamski, Saragusa, Angelucci, some of the more classic cases, which I really enjoyed reading because they also went through a spiritual transformation too.
Sure.
Even Edgar Mitchell.
Yes.
And so I think it's part of a kind of a holographic kind of connectedness, and you know, you'd have to read the book to really understand fully my principle and how I describe it. But basically, I think that we're all interconnected, and that's what creates the paranormal effect. It's like a standing wave, a wave that emanates from a center within ourselves and emanates outwardly and affects objects, and also it helps to create them too, as in I think that we're involved in the creation of these, of this phenomenon at a deep level, and I think that the UFO is not something that's divorced from us, something totally separated. I think we're involved in it, and because we are in a holographic kind of creative experience, and we're going through a transformation. This is what Carl Jung also referred to, and it's kind of associated with synchronicity, the principle of synchronicity. Jung, if you may recall, Jung described an experience with Sigmund Freud once, in which he was trying to explain to him about synchronicity and the principle itself when there was a huge explosion in a bookcase next to him, and incredible noise, and the book was kind of similarly dislodged. And I had a similar kind of experience myself, and I think that this is psychic energy. One time I was in a bookstore myself, and I was talking about psychic energy with someone, and a book dislodged from a bookshelf. It was in a metaphysical bookstore too.
Uh-huh.
And when I ran over to see what the book was, and it was actually a book on psychic energy.
There you go. And
so
you know,
it was
those are
experience.
Well, they are, and you know, there's many people that have those, and they don't always understand them for what they are, and I think they need to give a little credence to it, because it certainly is a way of opening up one's mind, and letting them know that maybe this is something for them to do or something that for them to think about. And you guys, hang on, and we'll be right back with more of Nahu and UFOs, Gods from Inner Space. Don't go away. Do you want to understand more of the nature of the universe? Why is there billions of galaxies and trillions upon trillions of star systems in our known universe? Why do we sense we are eternal beings? Why do we have different personalities? Where do our emotions and dreams emanate from? Where do the visions of deja vu come from? Your never-ending life. Book 1 of the Universal Learning Series introduces the philosophical theory of universal learning. The theory of universal learning focuses on you, the never-ending, eternal spirit, developing an understanding of the transcendent scale of the universe and learning the ways of the Creator. Your never-ending life explores such subjects as past lives, karma, emotional control, and superior spirit. For more on this book, visit universallearningseries.com. Your Never-Ending Life, Book 1 of the Universal Learning Series, is available at Barnes & Noble and Borders bookstores and online.
For 58 years, Fate has provided true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate is a factual magazine containing articles by experts in all walks of life and by others just like you who have something dramatic, significant, and truthful to say. Keep up with the latest on all aspects of the paranormal, angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, and much, much more. To receive your free Fate magazine, call now, 800-728-2730, or visit our website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730, or www.fatemag.com. What are you waiting for? Your fate waits.
Check out Rebecca's website for the latest Journeys news and more. Log on to www.journeyswithrebecca.com.
Welcome back, and you're listening to Journeys with Rebecca. We're here with Nahu, talking about UFOs, God from inner space. And one of the things that we're going to start out talking on this last segment is a little bit about what the UFOs really mean. And I'm going to throw in my two cents worth here, Nahu, before you get started. I myself believe that extraterrestrials are no different than we are. We're just different species, and they are more highly evolved, obviously, if they have the ability to do the things that they're doing, not only with you, but with me and thousands and thousands and thousands upon thousands of people across the world. We're seeing more and more UFO encounters, more and more UFOs flying around, sightings and that kind of thing. It's not an accident. Again, it comes to that point of what you would call synchronicity. There's a lot of things that are all intertwined here, but you have, from your perspective, you want to talk about what UFOs and God and all that energy is, and then we're also going to be talking a little bit about the grand principles, I think you called them?
Grand unifying principles.
So I'm going to kind of leave you to that for just a moment. And before we end this segment, we'll definitely let people know where they can get your book and how to get a hold of you and that kind of thing.
As I said, I tend to see the universe as a hologram, as a incredible collection of slides of light filled with information from multiple universes of what I term self, because I believe self is expansive, that it encompasses all space and time, and that we will eventually learn more about our grand unified relationship to all that is. And when I speak about all that is, of course I'm talking about God, or that beyond omniscient, omnipotent, an omnipresent element behind all things, which I consider to be a spiral pattern or wave pattern, if you will. I think that it emanates from the internal levels, the subatomic levels of reality, and materializes externally, and that it can be seen in the form of light itself. And the light that we referred to earlier and talked about is that same pure crystalline, lucid light of that comes with an expanded consciousness that many spiritual practitioners and people who practice meditation, those who have had mystical or NDE type of experiences or near-death experiences, out-of-body experiences, people in lucid states have encountered. And we know that going inwardly and closer to the light, we get more of it, and that it's an incredibly pure light. And that when people see UFOs, basically that's what they're seeing. They're seeing light. They're seeing an incredible amount of light pouring out into the physical three-dimensional plane from some point. And it seems to be an extra-dimensional point. And I tend to think in terms of this example, what it would be like for a fish in an aquarium to see a finger come into the aquarium from somewhere outside their unique domain and try to comprehend what it was or where it came from. But that UFO light itself comes from an external, or in this case, an internal dimension, I should say, and that it's an interdimensional object, and that we're just seeing the tip of it here, and that reason why it moves and defies gravity is because it controls space and time. And it's the very principle behind its manifestation, the spiral principle. And that's the reason why there's so much light with it, and why it's able to defy gravitational fields and create paranormal connections. God is. God connects with all things equally, and people can make that communication on an internal level. And that's the reason why they have all these unique mystical and spiritual and psychic experiences too, when they make encounters of that sort. So that's why we see so much light, and why there's such an abundance of light. And to me, that's the real nuts and bolts of the UFO encounter itself, because that's something that's predominant in every report, not to mention the angel hair too, which I think is very synchronous and interesting associative phenomena, which I consider a partial materialization of an object as it moves into physical space-time. Again, I said we create our reality together, so there's different partial aspects of its materialization that's like residuals that are left behind. I think angel hair is one of those residuals. I won't go too much further with that. I know we're short on time. And you wanted me to speak about the Grand Unified Theory? There?
Right. You have like 15 steps or 15 bullets, points, if you will. If you want to go through a few of them so that you can kind of understand, let people understand what you look at as what's called a Grand Unified Theory of the UFO.
Yes, there's 15 different actual steps or principles. Actually, I could have added more, I think, now I'm looking back at it, because it's hard to narrow something that's large or expansive of principle itself into 15 steps, but these encapsulate it for the most part. One of them, we create our reality from within, is the basic essence of it. and it has to do with how the spiral template inwardly manifests itself in a physical materialization itself, and can be seen in the so-called Fibonacci series, which is the emanation of a series of spiraling patterns of light that are found in seashells and tree trunks, and the very structure of how leaves proliferate. It can be seen in the internal DNA patterns of the double helix. It can be seen in the galaxy itself, and the swirling spiral patterns in the galaxy. But this principle is created from within. We were saying that basically it's created from within, and that this principle is God, and that's what God equates to. I think this is so exciting to me because of the fact that I think it's a manifestation of God. It shows us that God is present, that God is leading us, that God is not dead, as a lot of the existentialists might assume, and a lot of scientists who consider themselves scientific in their approach are not really scientific because they're not looking deep enough. But I think that it shows that there is a consciousness behind everything. The spiral template maintains the relationship of the whole to the part. That's number three, meaning it unifies things, brings things together, just in the same way that the brain brings together the body as a complete organism. We're a symbiotic organism, many different parts, multidimensional parts, many different levels too, and it's brought together to a common principle. DNA carries all that information from one parent to another. So we know that to be a spiral principle. Through multidimensional worlds, this information is fed back to the spiral template central hub. That means we're in constant communication with the internal principle, which is God, and that we can receive information from that source too when we need it, and we are guided by it.
Well, there you go. And before we run out of time, and that's what you're saying is absolutely phenomenal. I mean, it's very true as well. But what we want to do now, Nahu, before we run out of time, is let people know how they can find your book and how they can contact you, and if they have any other questions or whatever on UFOs, God from Inner Space.
One of the best ways to get a hold of my book, of course, is Amazon.com and on BarnesandNoble.com, or just simply going to the internet and typing in Nahu, UFOs, God from Inner Space. You'll find lots of my blogs from the Noetic Institute, which I'm a member. I'd like to go over there and share my insights and also receive information from other sources there, too. There's lots of fascinating people there.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. Well, and of course, Nahu, they can also just click on the link directly from my website to get to you and to your book.
Okay.
Nahu, you have just absolutely been a delightful guest. Thank you so much for sharing, and happy 2007 to you.
Thank you so much, and you have too. I enjoyed the opportunity to speak with your listening audience.
Stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Hey, bud.
Hi, this is Rebecca. This is the place where your journey begins. Is your career or business headed in the right direction? Is your love life all it can be, or is it missing something? Perhaps you're still looking for that someone special. And those closest to you, will what they do influence or affect you? For truthful, accurate, and compassionate answers to your unique life's journey, contact me by calling 1-888-958-2768 to schedule your personal and private reading. Where will your life's journey take you?
Don't forget to find out where your life's journey will lead you. Call Rebecca to set up your personal and private reading at 1-888-958-2768. That's 1-888-958-2768.
What a wonderful show. I do hope you enjoyed it. And a reminder to check out my website. That's journeyswithrebecca.com. And please email me. Tell me what you thought of today's show. That address is mailbag@journeyswithrebecca.com. And a special thanks to the sponsors of Journeys. Fate magazine. Since 1948, Fate is the longest running publication of its kind. You can find out more at FateMag.com. Also, Your Never Ending Life, book one of the Universal Learning Series by Sandy Andrews. To find out more, go to UniversalLearningSeries.com. Thank you so much for listening, and see you next time. Blessings to you all, and goodbye for now.